If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to John chapter 12. As we all know, we are going through the Gospel of John verse by verse to the Gospel of John. We have gone past the halfway point of the book, and we will be getting into some really great studies coming up here. Next week will be when Jesus washes the disciples' feet. That will be a great message. But if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to John chapter 12, beginning in verse 44. John 12, beginning in verse 44. Let me just read this passage today. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. And I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that this commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Listen to the word of God this morning. Here we see that Jesus is saying many different things about himself. First, let me just give you a summation of some of the things that Jesus just said in this passage. He said, if you believe in me, you'll believe in him who sent me. If you see me, you will see him who sent me. Jesus also said, I have come to the world as light. If you hear my words, you will not remain in darkness. I did not come to judge, but to save. If you reject my words, or reject me, my words will judge you. I have not spoken on my own authority. Instead, I speak what the Father commands me to speak. And there are many things that we could say about these different statements of Jesus. But instead, I want to focus on a common theme in this passage. And it's this: Jesus perfectly mirrored the Father. Jesus perfectly mirrored the Father. To mirror, to show a reflection of, a copy, to imitate. If I was to take a mirror here this morning and I was to walk around, you would see your face. And you probably saw changes from when you were a child to this place, but you would see the mirror and you'd see the changes and you'd see yourself in the mirror. But if you came and I had you come up with someone else here, and you came and you both looked in the mirror, you would see two different people, but they would look differently. They would not be the same. You would not reflect the other person. Yet Jesus mirrored the Father exactly. If my brothers were here, my family, I come from a family of 9, 6 boys and a girl, and you will see some of them here this Christmas. At least one, maybe more. But when you see my brothers, some of my brothers, you would be shocked. I've had people say, "Oh, are you guys twins?" And I'm like, "What?" But you'll look at us and you will see similarities. Maybe similarities in gestures, in the way we joke, in the way maybe we speak, in the way we kind of hold our bodies. You'll see similarities. But they do not perfectly reflect me. We're still different. We are different individuals. We are unique and different. And even if you want worldwide, if I look at my mirror and you look for someone who looked like me, you would find people that look similar. I've had people say, Reed, when I was in Bible college, Reed, you look like Tom Green. Or Reed, you look like Nicolas Cage. And my wife's like, oh, no, or yes. Oh, yeah, I can see that. But they do not perfectly reflect or mirror me. They may look similar in ways. And you can see that in movies we watch, where they may be the storyline of the movie where you have this kid grow up, and then you have come to the main actor of the movie. But you see how they pick the actors. And if they do a good job, you can see that kid looks like that adult, even though that's not truly what he was like when he was younger. They find someone who looks like that person, has some features like that person. They may look the same, but truly, if you had that child next to who they were when they were little, they would not reflect each other. Sure, they'd have similarities, but they would not be a perfect reflection of that person. But when Jesus came, he was the perfect reflection of the Father. Not just similar or in some ways, but the perfect reflection of God the Father. Listen to these verses that Jesus says about himself earlier in the Gospel of John. And in this passage we just read, verse 30-45 of this passage, whoever sees me sees him who sent me. And verse 49, for I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a command, what to say, what to speak. Everything that Jesus said and spoke were from the Father. And in the end of verse 50 in this passage, what I say, therefore I say, as the Father has told me. And if we look to earlier in John, we will see Jesus saying similar things about himself. For example, John 5:19, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. He sees the Father doing it, he does it. A perfect reflection. Jesus perfectly reflected the Father. But listen to the words of Paul in Colossians 2:9. For in him, Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And then the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 1, beginning in verse 1, listen to this. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus mirrored the Father. And when we see Jesus, we see God the Father. The perfect reflection. But here's a question this morning. If Jesus reflected the Father, what are we to do? If Jesus reflected the Father, what are we to do? We are to mirror Jesus. As Christians, we are called to reflect Jesus. Just like Jesus reflected the Father, we are to reflect Jesus in the way we live. Because see, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you begin to reflect Jesus. Now, if you don't know Jesus, doesn't matter how hard you try to be good, how hard you try, you cannot be good enough. You cannot turn your life around. If you're determined, I'll try to live better, you cannot reflect Jesus. The only way you can begin to reflect Jesus is to come to him and surrender to his lordship over your life and to say, I need a Savior. I need someone to set me free from my sin or my addictions and my struggles. And then He comes, and he comes inside of you. And he makes you a new person, a new creation in Christ. Only through Jesus. Coming in to your life, can you begin to reflect him? But when you accept Jesus into your life, the scripture says that the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. He takes up his residence in us. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you've asked him to come in and to be your Lord, and you've given your life and you believe that he died and was buried and rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit comes into you. You are his temple. He lives inside of you. But what does he do after he comes inside of us? What does he do? One of the primary works of the Holy Spirit is to conform us into the image of Jesus. The Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus. And his primary work, one of his primary works, is to conform us. And you hear another word in Scripture, transform us into the image of Jesus. Listen to Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, it is his goal. You are predestined to be conformed into Jesus. It's a process. Does it happen overnight? No. But listen to 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to conform, to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And as sons and daughters of God, we are to mirror Jesus. We are to reflect him to a lost and dying world. Do you mirror Jesus today? Do you reflect him in your words, in your actions? When people see you, do they see Jesus? Or maybe you're a Sunday Christian and you act completely different here than you do at home or work. But we are called to reflect Jesus everywhere we go. Home, work, church. We are to reflect Jesus. Are we doing that this morning? Are we doing that in our lives? Or there is another way I want to put it. Are we walking in the footsteps of Jesus? As Jesus walked, as we analyze his life, are we his disciples, followers of Jesus? There's our master, there's our Lord, there's our Savior. We look at his life, the life of his disciples, and we follow in his footsteps. Listen to 1 John 2, beginning in verse 4. Whoever says I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him also to walk in the same way in which he walked. Are you walking like Jesus? Are you reflecting Jesus? Are you mirroring Jesus in all that you do? But let's be careful here when I say this today. We need to be patient and gracious to all of those who are on this journey of transformation. Because we are all at different locations on this journey in our walk with God. But we aren't there yet.
we still make a lot of mistakes. I imagine we don't you wish that when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were there? Woohoo! That'd be awesome. No more sin, no more mistakes. Yes, you are a new creation. Yes, you are sanctified. In Christ, there's that positional sanctification you may have heard. It's the word that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are declared righteous and you are complete in Jesus. And then there's that progressive sanctification. That's what I'm talking about this morning, the idea that you are declared righteous before God, but then it is the outworking of that in your life, and that's when you begin to be transformed. And it's a lifetime experience of being transformed or conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. Because in real transformation, it's difficult. We make a lot of mistakes on the way. And at times we stumble, but we keep getting up. And as God begins to transform us, what happens? Ouch! It hurts! I don't know if any of you, someone told you, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your life's going to be easier. Liar! Well, yes, will you have peace that you never had? Yes. Will you have Jesus? Yes. But that doesn't mean it's going to be necessarily easier. It hurts, this transformation. It's painful in this transformation. Because then he begins to do that work of driving out the selfishness of our hearts. I'm never selfish with my wife. I always put you first. Please don't stand up and call me a liar. But do you see what I'm saying? It's a process. It is a process. As he begins to purge the selfishness and things that hold us back from him, those things that hold us from truly experiencing the abundant Christian life. These are still things in our life that hold us back. It does not separate us from God, but holds us back from that abundant Christian life, that relationship, that thriving walk with God. And his goal, the Holy Spirit's goal, is to help us mirror Jesus. So when we look into the mirror of our lives, we will see ourselves beginning to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Today, what is God wanting to purge from your life? What's holding you back from God this morning? What's holding you back from reflecting Jesus? Come to the cross and cast it down before him. Ask him. In the pain of revealing that inward part, God, I give it to you. Change me, conform me, transform me into the image of your Son. Are we reflecting Jesus? Are we reflecting Jesus as his church? I believe there's one area of many areas, but one area this morning that the church is failing when it comes to reflecting Jesus. As his church, and I'm just saying, I'm talking about the North American church, we are so quick to judge one another. We are so quick to judge those outside. We tend to have this unwritten expectation. Tell me if you've ever experienced this. This unwritten expectation that a person must act a certain way to be a Christian. We must be like this. We must not do that or this to be a Christian. And if you do these things, you're not welcome in a church. Where does it ever say in the Bible, to be a Christian, you have to do all these things? Now, I understand the first thing for salvation is Jesus, faith in him. That's what saves us. Yes, the outward working of that, yes, that's proof of what God's doing in our lives. But the question is, where are we on this journey? We tend to judge people. Oh, you have to be this way or that way. This is unwritten expectation. You have to dress this way. You can't do this. You can't do that. And we judge them, but we don't understand of what part of the journey they're on. Where are they at? Are they a new believer? Do they even know? And we are critical, and we judge them and drive them from some of our churches. People are driven. Oh, I don't go to church again. They judge me. I know that's an excuse for many, just not to go to church. But sometimes people are treated that way. And because of this tendency to judge, the people that do come to church have a tendency to put on a mask and to pretend. You ever go to church like that? How are you doing today? Great. The marriage is falling apart. Great. We pretend. It's like unwritten expectation that I must be a certain way. Not only to be a Christian, to even go to church. And are we really surprised that those in the world point their fingers at us and go, hypocrites! Same, I know that's an excuse. But there's a lot of truth in it too. When they look at the church, when they look at our lives, are we real? Are we authentic? Are we genuine? Because the world is not looking for perfection. They aren't looking for a cookie-cutter community where everyone looks the same. They want something that's real. They want something that will change their life. Are we reflecting Jesus? Is our church reflecting Jesus? Are we quick to judge? See, I think part issue, part of the whole... There's like a strain, or there's this whole difficulty between in Scripture. And that's where I think sometimes the church jumps onto two extremes. There's this tension that takes place between God's Word and His truth and love. And people get caught up, well, the Bible, I look at the Bible, it says do's, don'ts. And we get caught up in this, and we tend to throw out the love. You need to do this. And then you have people over here, oh, just love, do whatever you want, grace will cover it. And there's this tension. I believe in the Word of God. Yes, I believe in keeping His commandments. Yes, I believe that the fruits of the Spirit is evidence of a true walk in Jesus Christ. But do we know where people are on that journey? Are we gracious and putting mercy like Jesus did? Or are we quick to judge and say, oh, they're not Christian, or they can't come here unless they are that way? Let's take a step back here for a second. Let's talk about the unbeliever's journey to God. Okay. As some of you guys know, I was raised in the Mormon church. My parents became Christians in the Mormon church. They heard the gospel and they believed in Jesus Christ. Now, they didn't realize that much of the teaching of the Mormon church is contrary to God's word. But God, at that point, did not choose to reveal that to them yet. It was years later that their eyes were open that they needed to leave the church. It had been so easy from others not knowing that part of their journey to make a judgment about them. Oh, you're not saved because you go to Mormon church. Is the doctrines of the Mormon church contrary to God's word? Yes, but it's so easy to not look, instead of looking at them as look at someone and say, hey, I don't know where they're on their journey, not being quick to judge. We don't know what God's doing in their life to get them from A to B. But just think about this when it comes to unbelievers' journey to God. Do you know that God's pursuing love is not locked into the confines of the church? He's searching right now for the lost. And when he finds it, it's bloody, it's hurting. Like a sheep, when a shepherd finds a sheep, it's injured, maybe it can't get up. And then that God draws that exact person across the church or across your path and my path. And they come, they're bloody, they're not pretty. They're not even fun to hang out with. They may even be angry or bitter, but something deep inside of them desires to know God's peace and His joy. And God wants to use you to reflect Him to that person.
And they're interested in God. Will they see the reflection of God's loving grace and mercy through you and me? And if they come into this church, will we judge them because they're not like us? Or will we mirror Jesus? Jesus hung out with the tax collectors and sinners were drawn to Jesus, and He was perfectly righteous and good. You think that would kind of drive people away, but drive the hurting to Himself. Okay, that's the journey of the unbeliever to God. What about the journey of the young and immature believer's journey to God? If it's true that we're all at different locations in this journey, and if it's true that we're all at different places of maturity in our walk with Christ, where is the grace, mercy to let people make mistakes in their walk with God? When you were a young believer, did you make a lot of mistakes? I never did.
Yeah, right.
I can't even fight. I don't even know. I could go on forever about the mistakes I made. Why are we so quick to tear down a young believer or a new believer? Oh, you don't do this. You don't do that. Why are we so quick instead of giving an assistance of love and mercy to that person? I don't expect a baby to act like an adult. Why do we expect a newer believer to act like a mature one? For we are all at different stages of our transformation into the image of Jesus Christ. I want Grace Crossing Church to be a place that all people are welcome. It should matter what stage in your search for God. If you're a believer on your search with Jesus, or you're an unbeliever and you're searching for God, should they not be able to find Him here, the reflection of Jesus Christ here at our church? A new believer should be welcome. A young believer, an older believer, a person who does not yet know God but is seeking the truth. I want GCC to reflect Jesus' love. What's our vision and mission? It's living in God's love and walking in God's love. That's our vision and mission here at Grace Crossing Church. I believe honestly that if we do that, for the people here in Valley Station, if we reflect Jesus, people will come because they are seeking and drawn to genuine, real, authentic community. Not perfect, just real. Why would they not come to Jesus? But let's be honest for a moment. This type of community would be messy. What I mean by that, it will draw hurting people. People who are bound in sin. People who have misconceptions about God. People that may not even know how to act in church. It will draw people that have very colorful language. But will we love them? Will we mirror Jesus? Will we hang out with a tax collector and sinner like Jesus did? Listen to Luke 15:1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Him. Are they being drawn to us because of our love and mercy? Yes, I believe in the truth and the uncompromising of God's word, but there's a journey we're all on. Knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. What will we be? Are we mirroring Jesus? If we have the worship team come forward, please. Are you mirroring Jesus today?
First, I want to ask, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you could try all you can to mirror Jesus. You will fail. You must have the Holy Spirit. He's the one that empowers us to obedience. He's the one that changes and transforms us and does the work. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're like mowing the yard here with scissors and you're trying to do it. You're never going to get there. But when you have the Holy Spirit, it's like getting in a huge lawnmower and just going for it because the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus this morning, I ask you, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. Today is the day of salvation. Come to Jesus today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, talk to me after the service. Come to me and we will pray and I will talk you through that. And I'll get you plugged in to be discipled in your walk with God. But if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior this morning, are you reflecting Jesus? If not, if there's areas in your life that are not reflecting Him, what areas do you need to surrender at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, drive this thing out of my life so I can reflect You? As you worship this morning, bring that before the Lord. Confess it before Him and ask Him through the power of the Holy Spirit to make that area of your life changed. Let us worship.